you love takeaway, travel, and international cuisines? Then you're going to love the Takeaway Man podcast. Join Kevin Kerwin, the Takeaway Man, as he searches for the best international food delivery services accompanied by popular musicians, comedians, and artists. But here's the catch. Each guest gets to pick their a food delivery service, order their unique menu items for up to $20, and give a thorough review on it so you can get the best value for your money next time you order takeaway. You can also enjoy the entire experience on Instagram by following at The Takeaway Man. Sit back and turn up the volume because Kevin is here.
Hello and welcome to The Takeaway Man podcast. Today on The Takeaway Man podcast, we have Chris Parker, a Canadian expat who is the chief entertainment officer for his YouTube channel, Retired Working For You. He's also a husband, filmmaker, news reporter, hotelier, food critic, and hardcore party animal. In less than 1 year, Chris has created and developed a YouTube channel that has not only given thousands of dollars worth of food and money to local Thai children, elderly, and people who have lost their jobs and their income due to the current situation of the pandemic. So that's pretty much my idea of Chris in a nutshell. So thank you so much, Chris, for coming onto the podcast. And welcome. How's things?
Yeah, things are good, man. Can you just do me a favor and say thousands again?
Thousands.
Thousands. I love how you guys say that. That's you got one of my favorite accents in the world, man.
So I'm from Dublin, Ireland. So that's exactly where this podcast is coming to today. So yeah, Dublin, Ireland. And you're from Canada, yeah?
Yeah, I'm from Canada, a small town called Peterborough. I consider Toronto my hometown if I was picking a hometown. I'm in Bangkok here right now. Sun's just about to set. Oh, and wish I could get back to Canada and visit some people, but that ain't happening these days.
I know, it's a bloody nightmare. It's like one of the big things is for me at the moment is actually trying to get over to Thailand. So I'm actually doing a degree and stuff like that. But with the ASQs and the visas and all that stuff, it's pretty much shut shop for the rest of the year. I thought this year now we would have been able to get a chance, but it's looking like early next year. So.
Yeah, that's what it's feeling like.
Yeah. So just to kind of go over, what food did you order today for the podcast?
Well, even though I'm in Thailand, I ended up ordering in some Indian food. Cool. I got my nephew here with me right now and my daughter's out there. And I kind of, when I order some takeaway food, I usually run it by them and let them pick and give them a few options. So tonight, it was the Indian's turn on the dial of takeaway. And so I got some of the classics, an aloo gobi. I got a big garlic naan here. I got some samosas, couple of samosas, and of course a butter chicken.
Oh yeah. The butter chicken. That's strange because like you've had spicy food in Thailand, like you've had videos and stuff like that of you trying to eat like really spicy food in Mark Wien's place. So how come you went with something that was a little bit creamy?
It's for the kids, man. It's kid friendly. So I can't always, if I ordered in something that was chock full of nothing but Thai chilies, I think they'd string me up. So I got to eat what's right for the home sometimes, you know?
Yeah. No, tell me about it. I'm the exact same. That was one of the funny things when I was actually in Thailand, when we sat down and we were having a bit of food with people, especially with Thais. I was just like, yeah, just order me what you order. And they're like, oh no, it's really, really spicy. And you're like, okay, I'll try it. And they ordered me a papaya salad and I never had it before. And I was just like shoveling just this salad. I was like, it's a salad, it's going to be fine. And they were just like, good luck with that.
Did it work out for you?
Just nothing like when you know when tears start rolling down your face in the middle of a restaurant and you're there with your friends and they're like, oh, did someone say something to this chap? Is he offended or whatever? And you're like, no, I'm having a great time. This is amazing. So
yeah, exactly. My eyes are welling up. Yeah, no, I can't eat the spice that the Thais eat. I mean, it's my threshold for spice has definitely risen since I moved here quite a bit, but nowhere near to the level that they go down at. It can blow your mind, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like when you go to a restaurant, especially over in Asia and stuff, and you ask them first, and they're like, "Oh, how would you like it?" And you go, "Spicy," and they're like, "Is it Frank spicy, or is it like, you know, Westerner spicy or ours kind of spicy? So yeah. So just one thing that I kind of wanted to touch on just before I let you have your food, it's just kind of some drinks. So you're going to a restaurant with your wife, you sit down, the first thing they ask you, do you want still or sparkling water? Is that what's your buzz on that, you know?
Still, man, all the way. Still water for me. I'm not against sparkling water. Like, it's funny because over here, all my buddies down on Koh Samui, they drink, I think just calling it sparkling water makes me shy away from it. When exactly. they call it soda water, and they'll drink it all the time. They have these little stubby bottles here. The soda, often you're using it for mix for some gin sodas or something, but they'll drink it all the time as a water substitute. When it's presented to me that way, okay, yeah, I don't mind some bubbles in the water. I still prefer still water. But in a restaurant, it's almost like I'm not one of them, man. Just give me the still.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm the exact same. I actually, when I was in Manchester before, we were staying in this hostel, and you know yourself, you wake up first thing in the morning, dying with a hangover. The one guy gets sent out to go get the bottles of water, and I go down to the vending machine, I'm putting the money in, and I'm getting bottles of water out, and it says still. The first two bottles were still. The rest of them were all sparkling. So yeah. I came back trying to be like the knight in shining armor, and I'm handing like really dehydrated people sparkling water. Oh man, yeah. An absolute nightmare. But yeah. So the next kind of question I want to talk to you about, and it's something that I definitely hold dear to my heart. One, being Irish and being a stereotypical Irishman. But two, the beers that you can get over in Thailand. I'm going to say that there are four main beers that you can get.
Okay. Then, I think you're on to something there.
Okay. So we go straight up with Heineken. That's globally Heineken.
I call Heineken the Marlboro of beers.
Exactly. So we have Heineken, then we have Chang, and we have Leo, and then we have Singha. So they're my picks if I was to go into like any kind of restaurant or whatever. But it's so strange, in Ireland I would drink Heineken, go to the pub, have a few pints of Heineken, but in Thailand I'd always pick Leo, like hands down, always Leo.
I almost always pick Leo, but tonight I'm going to be changing it up a little bit. But Leo's my go-to. I've run through them. Like there was a time when I first moved here that Chang, I found myself drinking a lot of Chang. Now I find that just too much of a strong flavor to it. I like an easy to drink kind of crisp. They also have Asahi here.
The Japanese stuff.
I think it's like Heineken. I think it must be brewed locally through some sort of partnership. And so that's a pretty good one as well. I've been through a Heineken phase for years and years. When I used to visit here, I'd drink a lot of Heinekens. They also have Tiger. Tiger's another one that's pretty prevalent and not bad. I've decided to give another kick at the can tonight to what I would consider the one I drink less than any of the others, which is the Singha.
Oh yeah. Like, to be honest, in general, they're all good. They all get the job done, you know. Especially like my kind of thing is that if you're going to be sitting on the beach, the sun is shining. It's what beer can you have that's actually kind of really refreshing that won't put you asleep? You know, you don't want to feel real sluggish afterwards and stuff. And that was the reason why I always kind of went with Leo's.
I would agree with that. And they're all, like you say, they're all relatively similar. It's not like one's a dark ale and one's a super strong IPA or something like this. Yeah. And then we do find ourselves with, I guess, more regularity than I thought I would, finding a place and having a pint of Guinness as well.
That is the thing. Like, Irish people, and we can probably end on this bombshell, is that Irish people will go find an Irish pub, they'll walk straight in, the first thing they'll order is a pint of Guinness. They'll meticulously watch them, how they pour it, how is the angle correct, is this good, what way are they finishing it off, are they doing the two-stage pour, and they'll take one sup and go, this doesn't taste like home, this tastes shit. But they'll finish it and then they'll go automatically onto the Changs or the Leos or whatever.
Oh, really?
It's such a thing.
Yeah, and there was a nationwide Guinness shortage here about, I want to say, 4 or 5 months ago. It was crazy. You couldn't get a Guinness anywhere. I don't know what had happened, but something went down.
That's crazy stuff, man. But that's the thing.
Back home, Guinness used to be it was always my kind of cold, rainy day beer. There was nothing like it. But over here, like you're saying, Guinness isn't the best. You go down to the beach and it's, 35 degrees and you start sucking back Guinness. It doesn't go so well.
Yeah.
It's more of a treat every now and then.
Oh, 100%. Like, and that's the thing. It's kind of like Spot the Irish Guy. There'll definitely be someone from, say, like outside of Dublin. It'd be 35 degrees, but he is dead set on drinking pints of Guinness throughout his whole holiday. He'll sit there in 35 degree heat, sculling these pints. And it's just the way of the beast, I suppose.
Yeah, well, all this talk about drinking, am I allowed to drink on this show?
Yeah, fire away. So that's the thing, like, you can do everything. So what I'm going to do now is I'll just pause it real quick so you can just sit down, have a bit of food, so hopefully it doesn't go cold on you, have a bit of drink, and then I'm actually going to make a couple of toasties here myself. I'm after getting a toasty machine, and I'm going to try replicate the 7-Eleven toasties while you're having your food, so.
All right. Well, I was going to pour a beer with ice in it in classic Thai style. Ruin everyone's day.
Yeah. Do you know what? When you said you were going to go get a beer, I could actually hear you in the background getting the ice. And I'm like, oh, this has to be a Coke. This has to be a Pepsi. And then is that a cardinal sin? For you to put beers on top of ice, or are you used to it now by living in Thailand?
Until I moved to Thailand, it was.
Yeah.
And now in Thailand, it's like, I don't do it with regularity. I do it when there's warm beer.
Exactly.
And then if I go, and I would much rather that than a warm beer. And it's gotten to the point where I go to some restaurants. I was up in Chiang Mai in November. And, you know, they just give you a couple of warm beers, a bucket of ice and two glasses, and it's have at it, boys. And I definitely got used to it. It doesn't pain me or bother me anymore. Yeah. It did at first. And now it's like, well, hey, there's this warm beer here. I'm going to put some ice in it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely understand. It's so funny is that, like, if someone did that in, say, like a Western pub or a bar, you'd be like, no, pour that out. Or if you're in the beer garden, you throw it into the ditch.
Oh, you'd be, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, come on. It's already watery enough.
Exactly. Yeah. No, 100%. So what's the plans now for the future with the pay forward stuff?
Well, I've got a huge one coming up next week in Koh Samui.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be awesome. Not to give too much away, but exactly. One guy reached out to me from America, actually, and donate a substantial size amount of money, said, I would love to get in on what you're doing and support it. And so I had a couple of chats with him and great guy. And it ended up coming through. And so working with him is to kind of what we thought we're trying to use it to just kind of reach as many people as we can on Samui. Samui's hurting like crazy. All the people down there, places, tourism or bust, basically. And so right now it's bust. And I just got some video in today. We got like 35 volunteers helping out. There's going to be a big one day initiative that's going to go down next Monday in Koh Samui. And it's really exciting. Wow. Really exciting. And then after that, I just kind of take them month by month. I can only look so far ahead. They take a lot of energy. I feel a lot of pressure, to be honest, on those ones, because I want to try my best to do something that feels right and that feels like it ultimately is getting into the hands of those that need it. So I just take it month by month. I just met with a buddy just a couple hours ago. We went out and started chatting about early ideas for what might come at the end of March. I usually shoot them at the end of every month. And as of now, this one's all locked and loaded. It's a huge one. My biggest by far. It requires a lot of help.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be awesome.
that's so good. And I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed is in regard to how the whole pay it forward thing came about. And it was just sitting here in the snow in Ireland and just seeing you turn around and order, like, you got, I think it was a cup of tea, you know, so everybody in Ireland drinks cups of tea. They're all completely relatable. And you just turned around to the dude and you were just like, here, man, there's just like a shit ton of cash. And he was just like, and that is the kind of the Thai culture. He was very kind of, he was like, oh, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? And you were like, no, this is provided by the guys on YouTube from the streams. Mm-hmm. This is for you. Do whatever you need for it. Thank you so much for all your help. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things is where charities kind of lose out in that sense, is that you're donating to a charity and it comes out of your bank every while. You are physically there doing it on video, handing it to people. You're going, there you go. It's the same with the guys with the Muay Thai and all that stuff, you know, and you can just instantly see the relief in their face kind of go, holy shit, you know, like this is food. This is paying my rent. This is going to do that, you know, and
yeah, this is going to take away however long, whether it's a month, whether it's 2 months of this stress. I mean, some of the gym workers, like this, it's heartbreaking, man. Like they woke up that morning with, one of them had 89 satang in their bank account, this married couple, that's less than one baht, which is the equivalent of about, you know, 3 cents, I guess they had in their bank account that day. And so, yeah, the relief is a good word. That's, you know, and it's just some temporary relief. All these people want to do is work and continue earning their own way. That's been taken away from them. So, yeah. I couldn't imagine it, man. I couldn't imagine it.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And in one sense as well is that, like, from when you do kind of touch down in Thailand, everybody's working. There's people on the streets. They all have their stalls and stuff like that. There's people trying to get you into bars. Like, it's not a town where people, like, there's no restless people in Thailand, you know. That's from my eyes anyway.
Yeah, and then I give the, you know, this guy that you're talking about, his name's Nguyen. I've known him for a few years, just as a guy who travels to Raleigh, and he's my coffee shop guy, not like we're super tight buddies or anything, but I keep going back and hanging out at his place. And I get some comments. It's like, oh, you know, that guy, he's just a lazy Thai who's just going to use it for whatever. And I'm like, well, it's just so bizarre to me sometimes. It's like, man, that guy was showing up at 8 a.m. every day and working until 8 p.m., 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to serve the two or three customers that would walk in, because what are you talking about? Like, come on, man. And so it was just a pleasure to be able to keep him going just a little bit. Than that, I've had people send me pictures of them in his shop saying, amazing, look who I came to visit.
That's so cool, man. But that's exactly what it is. It's like with the kind of the documentary style that you do, it's better than the news. Like it really is. You can sit down and you can kind of go, well, this is the pictures. This is what's happening. This is frontline, the war zone, if you want to call it that. But you're there. But not only that, is that it's people, the likes of myself, that are now currently over living in the West, and you're seeing the way things are run here in the likes of Ireland or whatever, even in regards to just quarantines and all that kind of stuff. If they had the same sort of structure in that Thailand has or Bangkok has, like, we would have half the amount of cases and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it's very kind of crazy in that sense. And that's what people like yourself make us go, fuck, man, I really want to be that dude. I want to sit there and have a beer and sit on the beach and be like, just to be able to kind of relax and know that you can do it safely, you know. And it's mm-hmm. something that's portrayed really, really well across your videos.
Well, that's appreciated, man, because part of me is always afraid that it's, I guess you could use the word, you know, tone deaf, like, hey, like, and I wanted to make it very clear that what I'm not trying to do is sit over here and say, look at this, look at me with all the freedom, being able to go here and go there and go to a bar. It's more like it's all done with the sense of, I got buddies back home, you know, that are in the same boat. It's all the sense of, hey, like, just join me for 10 minutes. Come on. Like, let's all just see that this is going to happen again. This is the world that is not disappearing on everyone, man. It's going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. And like one thing that that definitely kind of jumps out at me is that there's been times now, I don't know if you've ever missed a video or whatever, but like you're not getting paid for this. You know, you're sitting here, you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart. You're helping all these people. And like you're even between the however many thousands of followers you have, but there's been times now where like I was listening to a podcast or listen or go to watch a video and something hasn't like and it hasn't been there. How much pressure would that be for you now? Like, would you feel that no, you definitely need to get a video out, or do you have kind of any videos in the bank that you kind of go, all right, I'll just put this one out now because I said at the start I had 2 videos a week and this is what I'm going to stick to. And have
definitely feel that pressure, but I just it's only there because I put it on myself. And it's like it's funny. I'm not in it for the money, but that by no means means that I don't take the game seriously. I love the game, man. I love the game. It's just it's so fun, and it's such a large game to play that, you know, yeah, I love it. I you know, if I did it all and nobody watched, then it would take 90% of the fun out of it.
Yeah. I think
the fun part is this community that's come out of nowhere that just gets me out there in situations that there's no way in hell I'd be doing if I was just still retired, you know, living on no schedule. So yeah, I definitely feel pressure, but it's a good pressure. It's my own pressure. It's pressure to kind of hopefully keep things chugging along. And I always just word it quite simply in my head, put a few smiles on a few faces, and by all means laugh at my expense. Most of the shit I do on my channel is just stuff that's meant to say, yeah, have a laugh, and don't worry if you're laughing at me. I'm totally cool with it, man.
Yeah. And one thing that I definitely love about watching your show is that I don't mean to bring it up. I don't want to put on any anxiety or panic attacks, but when you fell into the pond, man, and I was sitting there, I literally howled with laughter because there was nothing you could do. You were just, I'm covered in pond water. Shit.
Oh, that, yeah, that's.
You explained how it happened that you went through and could have easily happened to anybody, you know?
Oh, sure. Like it was, I thought I'd get a nice shot, put my camera down on the over here, and it's like, now I got to walk all the way around the pond to get this shot walking over these rocks. And so I'm just on a beeline, and it looked like it was green tile.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, and I've gone back since and showed some people like my wife and my daughter. They're like, I could see how you thought that was tile now. Yeah. And it looked because it was just this green algae or something that looked like. And so I just stumbled, fell right in. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I look back and there was, I think it was over this shoulder. There was these two old dudes, foreigners, expats, sitting on a bench, and it's so embarrassing. Obviously you're like, man, I just fell into a pond, and on top of that I'm the YouTube guy falling into a pond. What an idiot. And so fast forward 6 months, and like just about a month ago when I was shooting the video at Mark Wien's restaurant, some guy came by on the street. He goes, I gotta tell you something, I was one of those guys sitting behind you in the pond. That's I'm like, oh shit. I never wanted to meet you, man.
Oh, no way. But like in one sense, like that's kind of the thing. Like I've the same sort of ideas. I'd love to do that kind of stuff, but unfortunately we can't, blah 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 blah. But it's the funny part is that like when you're going to like record something, it's when you're doing it by yourself, it's the running back and getting your camera and then having footage of you running back to get your camera to then press pause, and then you have to edit it, and you try to do it in a way is that like, well, maybe if I go out like 2 or 3 feet on the right, maybe the camera won't get me having to run back and do that. So to try.
Oh yeah. It's funny. Yeah. Sometimes that always cracks me up. I did a thing where I did a motorbike trip from here to Hua Hin.
Yeah.
And I got one shot where I put the camera down on the road, the cool shot of me driving away on the motorbike. And then when I got into the edit, I'm putting the part in with me driving back saying like, you realize that we all will have to go back and get the cameras. Like, yeah. This isn't some magical land where we ride off into the sunset. And it's so
that's
cool.
Exactly it. Like, and that's the way it's got to, like, that's the thing though. Like, there are definitely YouTubers that portray it as in we're riding off into the sunset and we're all hand in hand and it's all magical and stuff. It's like, okay, yeah, no, you have to go back, get your camera. Hope, dear God, no one robs it or whatever, or do anything like that. So, yeah, no, yeah. It's kind of mad.
Well, that's the beauty of doing this. There's so many beauty. I couldn't do what I'm doing back home where I'm from.
Yeah.
It would not work.
Yeah.
It would, society back there would shame me into quitting and not doing it because it's like, you know, I'd be, and here the Thai people, they're in the corner of your camera and 9 times out of 10, they play it up. They want to join the show. They want to be on your show. They know you're a YouTuber. YouTube's a huge thing here. And they're like, oh, and then you can talk to strangers. If I put the camera in a stranger's face in Toronto,
no,
they'd be like, what the hell are you doing, man? You thought, hey, what a loser. Get out of here, man.
Yeah.
And here they're just all welcoming. It all becomes just so nice. I love it.
Yeah, no, that is one of my kind of my biggest fears is that like when all this stuff happens and we can go out and like I bought a little drone, you know, and I wanted to do kind of like drone shots around Ireland and stuff like that. But the first thing I did was like when I posted it up, they went, did you have permission for that? Did you know that you could possibly have broken bylaws and all this kind of stuff? I was like, whoa. I was like, no, this drone is a travel drone. It's a mini drone. It just is really good quality. It's not like the big, huge ones and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And then you have like certain licenses and shit like that. So it's like, that was for me, like it kind of put the fear of God into me a little bit when you're kind of going, wow, when you see these guys on YouTube and stuff, has that ever happened to you in the past? Like, or because it's in Thailand, everyone's happy. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, for the most part, everyone's happy. I've had a run into an issue once flying my drone up here in Bangkok.
Yeah.
You can't really fly it up here. And I had it up in the air once and the cops came, stopped me while it was up in the air. But it turned out to be a warning and that was it. And I try to avoid doing too much that crosses any sort of lines here.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
So, yeah, no, for the most part, I can't even think of really any time that I've been shooting stuff that people give me like a bad attitude or that make me think that what I'm doing is so bad to their personal space or whatever, you know, they've all been, it's the exact opposite. They'll have full conversations. I met so many ties through this by they're so open to it.
Yeah, no, it is. It's amazing. No, it is real good.
So how's the podcast going?
It's going good. The way it's kind of working out now, it's you're my first official outside of Ireland. Let's make sure the Zoom works, all this kind of stuff. So so far so good. The only thing is that when you're a lone ranger, you're kind of making sure that like the video's recording, that we have the all that kind of stuff. Because what I really, really don't want to happen is that if something's not recording or whatever, and we have a really, really good interview and it's going well, and that's fucking lost forever, you know, and you're just like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bloody nightmare. But here is, I wouldn't say the official Thailand Toasty, but this is what they look like. So they're basically just Sambos that come in, that are pressed into basically these like little toasty things. And they're just standard, just ham and cheese toasties. So,
and do you have to toast them to eat them?
Yeah. Well, it's just bread, really, you know. But you can just have it as a sandwich. But when you toast it, it's just a million times better.
It turns into gold.
Oh, it really does. It's like liquid gold. But the issue is that like when you're cooking them, whatever, I've never had a bad one in Thailand ever, especially out of the 7-Elevens. But when you cook them at home, you get this thing. It's the same way when you're eating a slice of pizza. And the cheese comes off and slaps you in the chin if you don't make them right. Like that's it's the same way it happens here.
How many times have you been over here?
At this stage, two times. I flew over to Bangkok first, spent 4 days in Bangkok. And then I went, I flew to Australia. Then afterwards was in Australia for a while. And then I went back and I actually did like a 4 week kind of stint, done a bit of island hopping or whatever. And then halfway through it, I went to Indonesia. I flew over to Bali and hung out in Bali for 4 or 5 days. Yeah, I went to the full moon party and that in Copenhagen and Koh Samui.
Oh, in 2019?
Yeah. It was insane. Nice.
Last time I went to a full moon party was 98.
That's insane.
I went in 94, 95, 96, 97. And then by 98, the mainland Thais were starting to come over. The vibe was starting to change. And there was some shitty stuff that started happening at them. And I'm like, I haven't been to one since then. I will go again. Now my nephew is over here. If they were going, he'd drag me there for sure.
that's the thing. Like, it is amazing. The way it worked out for me when I went over there, I have the mother in my ear each time going, "Now, Kevin, make sure you don't have the ice because I read an article on blah, blah, blah. And if you drink the ice over there, you'll get really, really sick." And I was like, okay, cool. Grand. And then like, "Don't drink the buckets. The buckets, you never know what alcohol's in them. Blah, 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 blah." Okay, yeah, okay, cool. And I seen another thing where you skip fire ropes. And Jesus, you can't be skipping fire ropes. Okay, yeah, no worries. 10 minutes in, buckets down. You're chewing on ice walking down the beach. you're like, "Hey, dude, do you want to skip some fire rope?" "Yes, I do." You're skipping fire ropes, you get whipped with it. So I think.
Oh, yeah, man, that's pretty much it. I would go back again. It was a different era at the time, and I just changed it up a little. I actually gave up on that whole region, Samui Pangan, in 98, because back then I thought it was getting too developed in 98. And because I went there all through the 90s. And then, so I went over to Krabi, to Raleigh back then.
Yeah.
Went up to Koh Chang. Some places up north, just started checking out different places, looking for my new Koh Samui.
Exactly.
That had been, at the time, that had been taken from me by developers. And then I was on my way to Koh Lanta, my wife and I, in 2004, like two days before the tsunami hit.
Wow.
We were going to go there 2 days later. We were in Korea at the time. And heard about the tsunami, and it's like, well, I guess we can't go to Koh Lanta or anywhere on the West Coast. So then started contacting some old friends from Samui, reached out and said, "Well, come back here, man." And so it had been 5 years or 6 years. And I went back and I fell in love with the new Samui. Mm. And I've been back every year since. This was 04, I guess, been back every year since, to the point where I just move over here now. I got a ton of my best friends in the world live down there.
Amazing.
And it's home away from home.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. Deal, no deal. Just to kind of go over what you ordered there today. So did you get like a meal deal? Was it like, how did it work out?
So I ordered using the Food Panda. They have over here, your options are mainly centered around the Grab Food or the Food Panda. And I use the Food Panda. I don't know if I've ever ordered on Grab Food.
Wow,
so the way it usually works in our house, I have a wife, I have a daughter. It usually works out that my wife doesn't love eating takeaway food so much.
Mm.
My daughter and I, we kind of like it every now and then. And so we kind of want, there'll be certain nights, like my wife's out now. And so it's like, And this podcast, so all the stars align. Great, we're gonna have takeaways. So in the Food Panda, you got different rows. There's specials. There are restaurants giving all kinds of specials. There's your favorite restaurants. There's new places. And so yeah. Usually, it'll involve a little back and forth with me and my daughter talking about what do you want tonight? What are we gonna get? And then we just go through, it always starts with what type of cuisine. Should we get Vietnamese? Should we get ramen? Should we get some Thai? Should we get Indian? Should we get some burgers? You know, and the best thing about Bangkok, man, is the variety here is it's everything. You can get whatever you want, whenever you want. There's no delivery fee. Usually, maybe there's 20 baht delivery fee.
It's not even a fee,
usually there's none. It's free. And it's super easy, super convenient, and there's tons of options.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It is class. So
what do you usually get?
That's the thing. When I was in Bangkok the last time, I had a couple of days to myself, and I just started ordering mad shit. I was ordering fried rice from McDonald's. I'm like, what? Fried chicken? Yes, wow. This is being ordered. I ordered like a McFlurry fried rice, chicken. But then what I really loved about it was that you can order street food. Like they'll deliver street food and stuff like that to you as well. So
That's pretty unique.
Yeah, like I saw a couple of, there's an artist, like I can't remember what his name was, but he illustrated that you had these kind of guys that were, you can know that they were on holiday, and they walk past a street food vendor. They're like, oh, I'd never eat there, you'd get sick. When they walk into the restaurant directly beside it, and then the chef in the restaurant's like shouting out the street food person going, hey, can you get us some fried rice and chicken and stuff? And everyone's just making it up and sending it into them, you know?
For sure, man. Yeah. Yeah, I eat like lunch every day. So there's an amazing market that's a 5-minute walk from my house that has, it's like street food in an indoor market setting. That's where all the local office workers descend. So if you go down at noon, there'll be 500 office workers in there, very few foreigners. And it's just two giant U-shaped things lined with, there's probably 100 little food vendors to choose from. And it's everything's 50 baht. It's incredible, man.
Yeah, like that's just so good. I didn't hear no bell. So after the meal that you're after having there now today, are you going to go out for a walk? What's your plan? Are you going to go for a snooze? How are you feeling after? Is it good?
I'm feeling good. I'll probably have a backup beer here. Have that. It's about 7 p.m. in Bangkok now. I don't think I'll be going for a walk. Bangkok's not the type of place that you really too often go for a walk just to go for a walk. Yeah. I do that. If I'm doing that, I'm going to a park. The sidewalks here aren't great. Walking in the neighborhoods just for the sake of having a walk isn't great.
Yeah.
I do a lot of walking, but it's usually because I'm heading somewhere.
Exactly.
So yeah, I would suggest that for me, there's going to be another beer here. And I'm actually editing a video. I have a video that's about 3/4 done. I want to get it finished by midday tomorrow. And so I might put in another little session on that.
Happy days. And then another thing that I want to talk to you about is that, like, when you eat in Thailand or when you eat anywhere around the world, whatever, intolerances. When I was in Bangkok, I stayed in a hostel or whatever, and there was these like three Swedish girls, and they're like, oh, do you want to go out and get some food and stuff? But they were all vegan. And I was like, would they be able to eat anything on the street? Like, would there be anything? Cause everything would have like fish oils or any of that kind of stuff, you know? Is there anything that you've kind of gone, do you know what? That's a bit too much out of my comfort zone. I don't know how I feel about it. I know definitely anytime when I was on Khao San Road, there was a couple of guys there. I think they were from Brooklyn, and they got some octopus and squid on, you know, like the sticks, and they bit into it and they're like, whoa, this is not cooked enough for me, you know, and they have to hand it back and get it pre-cooked and all that kind of stuff. Any of them sort of
situations? There's lots. I wouldn't consider myself a super adventurous eater. I guess it depends what, like the octopus and squid doesn't scare me so much. I used to live in Korea. A long time ago, and they serve, they'll bring a little squid or octopus and they cut off its tentacles live.
Wow. And
the tentacles will still squirm and the suction cups will stick to you in your mouth because they're still moving. And so that's nuts. And they eat raw crab and raw, all that. So, but for me over here, I guess it would be, they eat all parts of the animal, and I'm not so big on like the innards of an animal. I don't need to be eating the gizzards and the tripe and the whatever else is there.
Yeah.
So that stuff I avoid. I pretty much avoid that stuff. And there's a whole bunch of stuff I'm probably missing out on that I should try. But fear of the unknown has kept me from trying, because I'll find, just last week I ordered something I'd never tried before in my food market. I'm like, oh, that's going to be a regular now.
Yeah, that was, I had the exact same sort of thing. I know there's something I kind of want to touch on later on, is that in regards to research, I really, really, really wanted to like durian, like so bad. Like I was like, just watching all these people turn around and they're eating it. And then you see the reviews and they're like, some people, oh, it tastes like custard and blah, 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 blah. And it was actually in Koh Samui. We were up the side of, I think we were at one of the big Buddhas, big, huge Buddha stand. And there was a guy and he was selling all the fruits and all this kind of stuff. And they turned around and they're like, oh, have you ever had durian before? And I was like, oh, because sometimes it's really hard to get, you know, especially getting fresh durian, the smell and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, yeah, cool. I really want it. I would have given them 50 euro. I'd be like, there's 50 quid. I just really want to taste it. And I stuck it in my mouth, man. And I just went, oh, shit, no.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, I hated it. And
that was the opposite. I fully expected to hate durian.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to do it. I was not excited to try it. I was the opposite of what your story is. I'm like, oh man, well, I gotta try it while I'm here. I'm gonna have to at some point so that I can say I did. And then I ate it. I'm like, whoa. And I loved it.
No way.
I thought it was awesome. And that shocked the hell out of me. I was fully expecting to be like, yeah, just as I thought, at least I can say I gave it a try. I tried Vegemite for the first time last night, and that fell into the category of how I expected it. And I didn't really enjoy that.
Vegemite is very touch and go. So with the likes of Vegemite, you have your toast, a bit of butter, but it's a sliver. It's like, less like you see like Australians whatever and they're like I think for us it's just kind of like a small glaze, really, a dusting of Vegemite. And that's nice, thanks so much.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe I'll give that a try. I did take the whole bottle and squeeze it in my mouth like this. That's the video that is coming out in 12 hours actually.
Oh wow. Cool. Hometown heroes. What's your favorite restaurant, takeaway, or food truck?
In where?
Anywhere. So anywhere you want to give a shout out to, because you're kind of based in LA or based in Canada or wherever. Is there any place that, if you were to fly in there in the morning, would you knock on someone? If you knew the chef's door, would you knock on it and be like, "Here, dude, make me a couple of tacos"?
I'm just so many, man. There's so many. I used to travel around a bunch when I worked in the film industry. I would say for a food truck that changed my life was the Gogi Barbecue in LA. Although I think it's probably, it was starting to go downhill just a touch before I left. I think Roy Chase started to, he wasn't as hands on.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, there's an addictive noodle chain called Xi'an Famous Foods just, even saying those words makes my, like, it's addictive, man. It's addictive. Here in Bangkok, I got my Pad Krapow lady over.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It. Amazing.
She's an absolute, the stuff she throws out is like, so it's just head and shoulders above everyone else's. So yeah, I'd say those three, man, are the ones that pop out, but there would be a ton.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. And do you know what I kind of love is that when you watch the likes of Anthony Bourdain or whatever, and you go see him pay $40 for an omelet, and then you kind of go up and you see the way like that the people are kind of treated and stuff, you're like, no, there's a 2-month waiting list. Sorry about you. Sorry that you're going to be here on a 1-week holiday to Bangkok and you didn't book in and all this kind of stuff. But around the corner from J5, there's a really cool pad thai place. I don't know if you've ever tried it. It's like the world's best pad thai. They say it originated from there.
Really?
Yeah, if you're ever around.
I think I have tried that. I think that's the place. And my buddy still texts me this photo to this day. We were drunk on Khao San Road. He was over from Vancouver visiting. And we went, I think, to that place. World famous pad thai, big lineup. Big restaurant, but we just got takeaway because you could get it without waiting in the giant line.
That's my suggestion. Always get the takeaway. Yeah. Fuck you, man.
Yes, but, and then we had it, and then it slipped off, and it dropped on the street, and he looked and he grabbed it and he put it back on the plate.
Oh, no.
And we did eat it, and that was something we probably shouldn't have done. And we got a photo of that moment. And every 6 months or so, he texts me that photo, or I text him that photo. And we're like, now that's new meaning to street food, man. Oh, but yeah. I go through. I think that's the place you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah. No.
And then
definitely.
Also, just two doors down from Ranjay Phai is just this little street. Almost a patio on the sidewalk. They do great Thai food, super cheap. I've never eaten at J5's. I can get in there in these days anytime, but it's so expensive.
That's the thing. Like I walked up, and of course for me, the 4 weeks that I'm in Thailand or in Bangkok or whatever, he went, oh, she's on holiday. She's at to take she's on leave. I was like, what? How could it? But yeah. Yes. Just those kind of things happen. And that's one thing that I kind of wanted to talk to you about is that, one thing that was a big eye-opener for me in regards to kind of doing your research and watching, say, the likes of your videos, have you ever had to put a timeline on it and say, like, this, as of this date, this is what's happening? Because especially with, say, the 60 seconds in Thailand, you know, where you're kind of going, they're constantly ever-changing. You have, like, the STV and all that kind of, like, I can't even say that without giggling, but still, like, the likes of the STV, all that stuff, like, when things like that happen, would you ever feel intrigued that you have to take the videos down because they're out of date, or are you happy to keep them up as kind of like an archive thing?
Oh yeah, I'm happy to keep them up. I don't think I'd take them down. Those ones are meant to be update videos. Those aren't the ones that I expect anyone to be watching even a week or two after they come out. And then other videos like my Muay Thai series, it's like, man, I put all this work into them and nobody's watching, but then fast forward 3 months and they're still cranking every day with new people. So I just look at it like there's different videos serve different purposes.
Exactly. Yeah. There's actually one part, especially with the Muay Thai videos, just a very quick suggestion because I got screwed with it was we went to a Muay Thai fight. They go, oh, do you want to place a bet? I was like, yeah, cool. And I put my bet down and they're like, yeah, however much it was. Yeah, cool. And I won three fights, even though I was winning them completely just by looking at the picture, going, yeah, that dude's ripped or whatever. But when you're looking at Muay Thai fights, the fat guy always wins. Like when you go in, you don't have to be ripped to win. You know, like you're going, oh, well, that guy's a lot taller, so his reach is going to be better. I mean, that's a bullshit. That little small dude's going to come in and knock him out. And you're like, how did that happen? Anyway, long story short. A kind of a, like an explainer video on how to do the bets, because I went up and I handed the thing thinking, all right, it was an accumulator. I got three fights in out of the six fights on the day. And they went, oh no, you got one loss. You don't win, game over. And I was like, oh shit. So I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. That's the way they said it. They say, oh, you don't win. Now I don't know. It's like, oh yeah, Farang and that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
But
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Just a cool kind of thing. Cause I wonder how many little sneakies that they get, you know? Fly me to the moon. So it's any sort of tips or tricks that you've acquired over the years in regards to kind of traveling, or any do's or don'ts when it comes to going to a restaurant in a new place, you know? Just for example, I have a rule as in eat where the locals eat. It's just very kind of straightforward. Everyone and their auntie kind of tells you if the place is empty, it's empty for a reason. Don't go. What about yourself? Would you kind of have any tips and tricks for traveling and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be my number one as well, for sure. Like, eat where the locals eat. Try and figure that out. However you know, in this day and age compared to 20 years ago, it's a lot easier to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, when I came to Bangkok to scout houses, my wife and I came over just for a couple of weeks to see where we were going to live. You know, I just cross-researched a bunch of different top 10 lists, top khao soi in Bangkok.
Exactly.
You know, if you like khao soi, and I find that if one place makes it in the top three on every five different lists, then I'm not going to go to the one that's number one on one list. and doesn't really exist on other lists because I figured there must be something going on there. But if you're across all of these articles and lists and everyone's recommendations, then there's probably something to you. You're probably a place where locals eat. And then the other thing I would say depends where you're traveling. Like if I'm, you know, going to go to a place regularly or even semi-regularly, the most joy that's come from me is getting to know some of the people and getting a couple of places that are regular, like my coffee shop guy in Raleigh Beach. There's a guy in Samui called Mr. Ung that has a nice local Thai restaurant. And, you know, been going there for 15 years. And
that's amazing.
It's so enjoyable when you find those places because it becomes such a personal, just the experience just gets so heightened and so lovely because it's just such a personal thing at that point. And you're hanging out, and you know, having some drinks or...
Cool.
You know, so I would try and find those opportunities if you can.
Yeah. And so on this last kind of part of it, it's, I kind of have it wrote down as an intoxicated food story. So for me, especially with being in Bangkok, and that's what I'm trying to kind of relate as best I can, is that have you ever gotten a ferry hungover?
A ferry?
Yeah, like the ferry, you know, like the boats to go from Ireland. Oh man,
ever gotten on a ferry hungover?
Oh man, it's
not really a good idea.
Oh dude, it's so bad. You're just sitting there, and like, especially when you're doing like the backpacker style thing, or not even like, yeah, we wanted to kind of do that, so whatever, we're being cheap as such. You're just sitting on this ferry, and it's going from side to side, and you've had too many beers or any of that kind of stuff. Would you have any kind of stories with, especially from being in, say, the likes of Copenhagen or whatever in the 90s, you know, you always hear about these stories of, if you go up one side of a mountain, you could have a mushroom shake and a mushroom pizza and just sit there and find yourself and all that kind of stuff. Would you have ever been in any of them kind of crazy situations back then?
Oh, that was normal back then. I mean, that was everywhere. Like, yeah, I think that's probably still today up on that hill or whatever they call it, Serenity Hill or something. I've, like I said, I haven't been there in 23 years now, but from what I understand, probably there's certain places that are still like that. Most aren't, but yeah, back then you could get, you know, you'd be getting that at the local pharmacist, you know. Yeah. They'd cook up an omelet right in the pharmacist.
No way.
Oh yeah. It was you know, then you go down to Indonesia. I went to Sumatra in 95, and yeah, I mean, it's just, it's impossible to not have offered to you on a daily basis, like in restaurants, on menus, everywhere.
Yeah, and do you reckon that's where your love for drum and bass came?
No, that's not where my love from drum and bass came. My love for drum and bass came at a three-day rave. We used to have what they called WEMF, World Electronic Music Festival.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I was going to the full moon parties throughout the 90s, as I mentioned, and that's where my initial, even actually before that, I was into some house music, but that's my initial kind of really love for partying with electronic music came into being. And then I went back to Canada and I started raving very late. I was when I was 28 and I was out there partying there there was me and a few buddies, but then the rest of there's like kids, man, they were kids there raving. And, but it was like, we love the music. We love the vibe. We love the whole aspect of what it stood for. And so I was 100% in. And then we went to the World Electronic Music Festival, which was an annual 3-day rave every summer. And it happened in a weird location. Either this one was in a forest, and it'd be like 50,000 people or whatever. Whoa, and multiple rooms. And I remember walking by and seeing this dusty tent with some weird, scary kind of bass lines. And it's like, what the hell's going on in there? And then I went in and I still haven't come out.
Amazing. Like that is,
I love it. I love it, man.
That it just, it's like, one of the big things is that you posted, I think I was actually in the office, I was doing the 9-to-5 spreadsheet pushing shit that I want to get away from, but I was sitting there and your video came up of the Switch, and man, I got chills up my fucking neck. I was just like, oh, that's like, this is what it was like, man. You know, and you go into Nana Plaza and Soy Cowboy and do all that kind of stuff, and you had like the edits of the Hangover and
Oh, man, that was awesome.
That was like, but, and then thinking back on a technical aspect of it, you're kind of going, okay, there's lockdowns, there's this, there's that. And when you're there and you're, when you get to see it and you just see it in real life and you're like, oh, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. This is the possibilities of what it could be. And man,
I love it, man. New year. And that one was like, I love that one personally because of the technical aspects. I shot, you know, the first half when I had 100-some-odd subscribers back 8 months before. And it was just like, I was, you know, I had 100-something subscribers and I was still making stupid light switches, you know, and waiting for a time when I could shoot the second half, and it presented itself 8 months later. And I'm like, I just loved that. That was so awesome.
It just, it did the whole way. And even there's this one part of that video where it's just you and you're in the shower. And it's just, if you were out and you're having beers with your mates and you turn around and say, hey, Chris, get in the shower there. And you're like, ah, fuck it, I'll get in the shower. You're just like that. And you're just, but then you're like just left like sopping wet in the middle of Nana Plaza. And you're just like, all right, let's go get some more beers, or let's go across the road to Hooters or something. Like, I get burger and chips, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, totally, man. It was, that was wild. That was a lot of fun. And in a couple of months, I'm going to be releasing, well, it has nothing to do with Nana or Cowboy, but there's another project that I'm working on now that's going to be really fun to release. I can't wait.
Oh, happy days, man. Happy days.
It involves a time machine.
Oh, no way. Yes, that's cool. Does. Happy out. What was your full order in the end? How much did it come to? Was the delivery time okay? And would you order it again?
So my full order was for more than just me. It was for my family. So we got buttered chicken, aloo gobi. We got some garlic naan, some plain naan, a couple of mango lassis for the kids.
Yeah, man,
so good. And samosas and ras malai, that cheesy dessert thing.
Never had
that. It's awesome, man. It's like this... just a little Indian dessert, super sweet with squeaky cheese in it. My wife loves that, and we got that. And the total bill, I want to say about 1,350 Thai baht.
Oh, that's
so that's about $45, I guess.
For two full meals, though, it's decent.
Oh, full meal, and that's splurging. You know, that's splurging. Like I say, every lunch here is 50 baht for me. And my wife and then my daughter. But this one's like you get foreign food, Indian food a little bit more, and still 45 for the whole family. And we got our nephew with us here too. So to infinity
and beyond. So what are you promoting at the moment? You know, you have your buy you a cup of coffee, the pay it forward stuff, your YouTube. Is there anything that you'd like to suggest to any of the followers or your own followers about promoting what you're doing?
Yeah, just join, man. Like, what? Like, for me, like, it's already been surpassed anything I could have imagined. But then that also sparks new dreams, you know, of what it could actually be that you couldn't previously dream. It unlocks new caverns in your mind about what could happen. And for me, it's all about just to get this community of people that wants to just focus on the positive side of things. And, you know, my thing is Thailand, and that's my main thing. So I like to focus on the positive, understanding, of course, that everything, and there's Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker and everything that you want to look at.
Exactly.
But I think you have the choice. And so whether it's joining my party and like, which is a bunch of people who also like to focus on the positive while working hard and playing hard and partying hard and living and doing, following dreams, or whether you find another way to do that, that's what I would promote. Just having that mindset of steering positive, man, and living life.
Yeah.
And whether that involves me or not, I don't actually give a shit. I would love it if it did, but as long as people are going that direction and not this other bullshit direction, then I'm happy.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And then just to kind of to finalize on that, is there any kind of frequently asked questions that you would love to just completely abolish from your channel?
Oh, man. Wow. I'm sure there must be. There's probably a bunch. There's a lot of frequently asked questions. The ones that I would abolish from the channel?
The ones that you could go, do you know what, dude, it's on video 6, or it's just like, if you could organize, say, a little robot that could just go video 6,
oh, video 9,
video 2, that kind of thing. Or maybe is there something that you've just constantly explain, and you're like,
The only thing I could think of is just the that I get asked a ton. Would be the most common question would be, what camera do you use?
Really?
Yeah, I would say, like, out of everything. But that doesn't bother me. What I would, in a way, I want to abolish, and in a way it's kind of fun, it's not so much the ones that I get asked all the time. It's these ones that are like this long with people that are on their way here, and they want, you know, can you maybe help me find a place to live? And can you help me maybe show me around and help me look at some condos so some of those crack me up. I'm like, man, I can't. I actually can't help y'all find a place to live.
it just kind of goes to show that if you were to provide that as a service, though, as say like a Canadian guy over in Bangkok, you kind of go, all right, yeah, if you throw me a couple of £100, like, we can go around and have a few beers, and I can show you a couple of houses or something like that, or, you know, things like
yes,
that.
Yes, and that could be certainly possible. I've had a lot of people say that, like, how much would it be for a fee to show me the lay of the land or whatever? And again, for me, it's like I'm just that's not something that I'm looking to sign up to do.
I'm retired, dude. There's a reason why I'm over here to have fun. I'm not over here to be a real estate agent. Even though your walkthroughs, it really does. It kind of blows everything out of the water. Because you're like in Ireland, just for a quick example, there's condos that you've walked around in Bangkok and wherever else that are like $100. In Dublin right now, they'd be like $2,000 per month.
Yeah, it's nuts.
You know? It's so nuts. And with this whole kind of remote working thing, and when you post up videos like that, you're kind of going, so I can have a gym, a pool, I can have a concierge, I can have for 500, and I'd save 1500, and then I can put that into savings, I can put that into whatever. And I think that's probably going to be one of the next big things, is the digital nomads that kind of now work remotely because of the situation or whatever.
And a place like this should be smart about it and capitalize, because my nephew just secured his place. We actually did a video of his house hunt that's coming out this weekend. I think this is the one I'm editing right now, and the place he's in, and this is just a short-term rental just for a couple of months. It's kick-ass little condo. And then we also looked at a place, if you wanted to go just 8 kilometers from the center of Bangkok, like the third option. It's a massive 4-story townhouse, brand new, 300 square meters, and it's like $600 a month.
$600, man.
Like, that's mental.
It's crazy.
He couldn't believe it. His head exploded. So that's that's my service of trying to help. My North Stars on my channel are very simple, fun, and informative.
Oh,
I try and always think it. Look, all I want to do is make the videos fun and informative. And so that's my way of providing some information on helping people, you know, get into the housing conversation here by doing that. So
No. Definitely no ifs, ands, or buts, that you're doing an amazing job, and the whole sort of situation. It's something that if it was a TV show, I'd definitely have it on record on my DVR or whatever, and make sure that I go in and watch it every week, you know. But nice. I think that's pretty much everything. Is there anyone you kind of want to give a shout out to? Any of the guys, the guys in the Muay Thai thing that are donations or anything like that?
Well, there's too many, I guess. Like my buddy Kunek, who recently had his first kid and has been helping me a lot with getting me into places. There's a lot more fun to come there. Amazing. He was a great guy. He just reached out to me and because he liked the videos. He said, "I like how you just talk about my country." And I get this a lot from Thais, and that means a lot to me. Yeah. I like how you present my country and I want you to show more of the real Thailand in your way. And I want to help get you places that you couldn't get. And so we have a whole bunch of stuff that we talked about that day, and it started with Muay Thai, and there's going to be some wacky places that he's going to get me into. So him, yeah, he's been a fun partner in crime.
Amazing. Ah, happy days. Yeah, well, thanks so much, Chris. I'm just going to stop the recording now and then let you go and do whatever you need to do in Bangkok. So thanks again.
This is a public service gobshite announcement. On the final hurdle, we fell, lost everything. The goodbye with Chris at the end of the podcast actually didn't record. You can hear me in it. I click a button. I must have ended the call too soon. And I thought we would have had the audio or whatever from the other ways we record, but it didn't work. So, unfortunately, this will be the goodbye with Chris. Chris is an amazing guy. Definitely go and check out his YouTube channel, Retired Working For You. He's going to be releasing some amazing Pay It Forward videos with, I think he was saying, like nearly 35 people working with him. He's given thousands and thousands of dollars into the Thai communities that have been affected with COVID and the lack of tourism over there at the moment. An amazing guy. I have nothing but good words to say about him. I can't wait to get over to Thailand and have a few beers with this guy because he's just an absolute legend. But definitely check out his channel, Retired Working For You. Buy some merchandise. Even hit him up and stay over in his villa over in Koh Samui. He rents out a villa as well. This amazing mansion just on the beach there. So hit him up for that. And thank you so much for checking it out. Sincere apologies again for another gobshite announcement, but I'm doing this out of my kitchen with no producers, no nothing. And we always know the first couple of episodes of these things are going to be dirty, but we're learning. Every day is a school day. And thank you so much for checking out the podcast. And our next one will be released next Sunday. Thanks so much, guys. And see you again soon.